Hey, y'all, it's Noxie. Thanks for listening to the Detailed Solutions podcast. And now, a little bit more about one of our sponsors. Alex, have you heard about the paint assassins on Facebook?
No, Noxie. What's that?
I'm glad you asked, you wrinkled little booby. Paint assassins was started by a dude named Jason Bruno to where detailers can find the camaraderie that they're looking for without any of the negative trolling bullshit like other Facebook groups. Not only that, but they can compete with their work weekly, monthly, or yearly to win prizes. Oh, dude. And they make sick merchandise, so you always have fresh gear to wear.
Whoa.
Anyway, y'all want to check it out? Again, it's Paint Assassins on Facebook or Instagram. Check it out.
Welcome to the Detail Solutions podcast. My name is Alex. I am your host. We have take two. Jason Kilmer, we had him on last night. We did a wonderful interview. And apparently the engineer forgot to hit the record button. So he's been fired. And here we are, Jason Kilmer take two, I guess. How are you doing, Jason?
Good. Man, I was at the car show yesterday.
Yeah.
That we prepped cars for the last 3 months. And it was a long day yesterday, but. So we're here in my house with good Wi-Fi connection. So it's not going to break up.
Yeah. Maybe that's the benefit of, we won't have the, nope, I lost you. Nope, I lost you.
Nope. I've had good Wi-Fi now. So we're good. We should be good. Knock on wood.
Yeah. We're recording this time for sure. All right, Jason. So kind of a redo of last night, I guess. I'll ask different questions this time. But obviously the first one is if anybody doesn't know who you are, who's Jason Kilmer? Where are you from? What do you do?
Sure. So Jason Kilmer, I'm from I live in a town called Orting, Washington. I'm about 30 miles south of Seattle, of downtown proper. Kind of live in the country a little bit on the foothills of Mount Rainier. Okay. So you can like go down the hill I live on, which is like a 9% grade, and there's Mount Rainier literally right there.
Nice.
So, I'm not a country boy, but I like living away from people in the city.
There you go.
So that's where I live. Known as the nickname Sandman. That's what I'm known for. But I have a nickname before that though.
Oh,
that the hot rod crowd nicknamed me as One Wing. So that's my nickname from my friend gave me back in 2000.
Okay.
So I have two nicknames. So if I'm in a crowd of people, if they call me by One Wing, I know they're a paint and body guy. Okay. And if they call me the Sandman, I know they're a detail guy.
Nice. Now, yeah. See, we did get into the Sandman nickname last night, but we didn't do the Wingman. The one wing. So again, good thing that we're doing a take two.
Yeah.
And then obviously that's where the whole One Wing challenge came from with you guys, which by the way, we didn't talk about it last night. And so I'm kind of glad we're doing this, cause I thought about it afterwards.
Yeah.
Dude, that was hilarious.
It was fun.
You guys, a lot of fun.
You should just sing all the bloopers.
I can only imagine
the whole day of bloopers.
Any plans of doing it again?
Yes. We did something with Red Company just recently with David Patterson and Dylan and I forgot his name. I'm sorry. From Rupes. He's gonna kill me.
Dylan?
But I'll figure it out. Not Dylan.
Jason?
No, not Jason. Not Jason. He's one of the reps. I'll think of it. Not Todd. I know all those guys real well.
No, Jason. Not Jason Rose. Jason Brennan.
No, it's not Brennan. It wasn't Brennan. He wasn't at Rupes at the time, but anyway.
Those are the only Rupes guys I know.
Yeah, but anyways, we did that. But yeah, I would like to do another one wing challenge. And then I personally would like to do it and get other companies involved to donate. And I'd like to donate to other organizations too.
Nice.
We donated to United Cerebral Palsy because I have cerebral palsy on my right side. And so that's who we donated to. I think we gave away three kits. Yeah. Lake Country donated, Ray Company donated, KXK donated, Rupes donated machines or a machine. And I think we got close to like 10K.
Oh, so, wow.
Not great, but I think if we were to get other companies on board,
yeah,
and just kind of do an industry thing, I think that would be really cool. So I love giving back like that and helping out. I mean, that's how I got started by you know giving a hand and getting a hand lent to me. So I find great joy in trying to help others out.
Right. And no, I mean that's pretty cool. I mean, right, every dollar helps, you know, kind of deal. So and honestly in an industry where, you know, not to say that people don't give, but sometimes it's hard for them to give. I mean, I think that's a pretty decent number. Kind of deal. I was almost tempted to try and bid in on one of those signed machines that you guys did, but
yeah.
My wife was like, you got enough machines and you're not spending that. She was already, every time I tell her I need something new, because she's the bookkeeper. So
yeah, I get it.
I have to, please, ma'am, can I buy some more products? Yeah, please,
I need some stuff. I need permission.
Right, exactly. So Jason, how, when, where did you get into all of this, you know, craziness that has become your life?
Yeah. I've always been a car guy. I was a car kid. I mean, I would go with the store with my dad when magazines were on the shelf, right? Mm-hmm. Now it's all digital. Most of it's all those magazines are gone.
Yeah.
Those publications are gone. But I vividly remember when I was 4, 5, 6 years old, I would go to the magazine rack and I would read every cover to cover.
Yeah.
Until my dad said, okay, let's go. That's what I did. And I bought magazines and I bought magazines. I mean, I had literally stacks probably to the floor, to the ceiling.
Oh, wow.
And I memorized all my favorite builders, all my favorite projects. I studied it. I was just enthralled with horsepower, big wheels, big tires, and shiny paint. And I was into I wasn't really into NASCAR, but drag racing was my big thing.
Okay.
So we'd go to the Nationals every year out in the Pacific Northwest Nationals. And we'd watch Nitro cars. You know, we'd go to Tractor Pulls and Gravedigger and Bigfoot and you name it. If it had wheels and tires and a motor, I was into it. Nice. So just really into the car culture. And, but, you know, I did have my limitations with my disability. So trying to figure out how I wasn't going to take no for an answer.
Right.
I just had to, figure out how I was going to negotiate the things that I had to deal with to get to where I was at. So I had a course of action right when I was in junior high.
Okay.
On what I was going to do. So, I mean, now kids in college took college and spent $100,000 on college education and they still don't know what they're doing.
Right.
But
right,
I knew from junior high what I was going to do.
Gotcha.
And my parents didn't say that. That was just me. I literally wrote my course description out of high school classes. I wanted to get my core classes done first so I could get out of high school and go to tech school.
Nice.
Early. And that's what I did. So my junior year in high school, at the end of the year, I decided to forego my senior year. And I went to Clover Park Technical College where I took the auto body and paint course. So when everyone was in senior high school and partying and doing whatever they do, I was actually furthering my education and getting an actual degree.
No, that's awesome, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's then fast forward halfway through that year, again, my senior year, but I was at Clover Park Technical College. So again, with my disability comes into play, and the painting process and the bodywork process was very difficult for me. I already knew that. And so, but I could take a sanding block one hand. So one of the students there was also into hot rods, and he was like, I'll take you under my wing. No pun intended. And I'll show you how to color sand. All right, cool. I learned the color sanding deal, but again, my limitations came into play.
Right.
I have no depth perception in my left eye.
Right.
So I never knew where the edges were.
Oh, okay.
So I would burn through edges.
Gotcha.
And I would buff through edges. And then using the rotary buffer back then, because that's all we had.
Right.
I had no control of my right hand. So the rotary buffer spins towards the right.
Yes.
So I had to figure all this out on my own.
Okay.
How to control the buffer, how to control the sandpaper, how to position myself so I could see the edge, which it took me 8 years to figure that out.
Oh, wow.
8 years of doing it every day. I would burn edges and burn paint and sand through stuff. My nickname was Bernie. For many years.
So actually three nicknames then.
Yeah. I had to figure all this out.
Right.
Because no one could show me how to do it because they didn't have the limitations that I had.
Gotcha.
So that's why I do things, and that's why I teach, and that's why we come up with different products, because I do it as what I think up here.
Right.
I teach like you have a challenge or a disability. That's how I teach. That's right. How I do things. That's the products that I make, the products that I tinker with. There's nothing that I have that hasn't been modified.
Detailers, let me tell you why Slick is the perfect silica spray. Slick has made protecting your car easier than ever before. The amount of depth and gloss that is left behind after using Slick will leave everyone speechless. What is the biggest complaint about silica sprays? It's the streaking and smearing left behind for you to deal with on your car's paint, taking away from the gloss and shine. Slick is the first completely streak-free silica spray on the market, which provides the greatest user experience available. Some of Slick's benefits are the UV inhibitors to add to UV protection, high quality silica, allowing Slick to work well with ceramic coatings, waxes, and sealants. It can be used as a drying aid, maintenance for coatings, on windows, rims, and it's safe on trim. And no streaking leads to a safer application, because the more streaks, the more you have to wipe. And we all know the more you touch a car, the more damage you incur. So go to the Detail Supply app and pick up some Slick today. And remember, use the code DETAIL15 at checkout to save 15% off your purchases. That's DETAIL15 because you are a Detail Solutions podcast listener, and save 15% off your purchases.
And I even drive differently too.
Yeah. I guess you'd have to, because if your depth perception. Yeah.
Well, also my right foot doesn't work. So I keep my right foot out of the way and I drive with my left foot on the gas.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I do everything differently. Because I have to.
Right. And then, so from the tech college, like, how did you transition from like paint body type stuff to then into the detailing side of it?
Yeah. We did a couple body shops, and my first year in a body shop, it was a friend's body shop. I started getting seizures.
Oh, wow.
And we figured out I was born with a seizure. So we figured out that maybe the paints and the fumes were causing more seizures.
Okay.
And so I had to exit out of bodywork and paint. So I'm like, what do I do now? Well, I still enjoy detailing. Let's go down that rabbit hole a little bit more. So I still remember my first paying detail gig. I think I got $200. It was a brand new Dodge Ram. Okay. And I used a rotary and wool pad and rotary and orange foam or yellow foam. And then a rotary and a black waffle 3M pad. And I was like, dang, it looks good. Which now I'm like, it was full of swirls.
Yeah.
You know, and then from there, we just kept on detailing. We did a stint at a couple detail shops, a couple stints at some body shops. But it was my friend Rich Thayer of RJ Customs at that time that I really took an interest to, and he took some sort of interest in me, and okay. and started going down the higher end hot rods. And also at that time, I was sweeping floors, holding parts as they were sanding and buffing. And I would clean wheels, clean undercarriages. They didn't want me sanding or buffing. So I would just work my way up.
Right. And then from there, because mm-hmm. I mean, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. From there, we went to a car show with this one customer, and another future customer said, hey, I need some help with my 39 Ford. It was black, beautiful paint job. Can you just help me wax it? And we had some Griot's Garage paste wax at that time, and which is a local company to us. And
right.
I'll go into that later because that's part of my story. But we helped him wax it. And I get a call from this gentleman 6 months later, and he said, hey, why don't you come up to the museum? And I was 20. I just saw him yesterday. I ran into him. We were chatting about it. So it's kind of interesting. You know, we're talking 15, 16 years ago now.
Right.
And he said, you know who I am. I see and I hear everything. Do not pull the wool over my eyes and do a good job on my cars, because if you don't, you'll be done.
Oh, wow.
I'm 23 years old. I'm like, okay. He goes, start on that car. I had previously taken care of with a previous customer that he purchased the car.
Okay.
I did spot sanding on this car. And I polished it, compound polished it, and I had over 120 hours in this car.
Oh, wow.
Just on the paint. I had 16 hours. This car had never seen the rain. I had 16 hours dusting the engine bay.
Jeez.
That's what type of customer this person was.
Right.
And I did that to every car in his collection.
Holy cow.
At 23 years old.
How many cars?
At that time, he had 30.
Oof, that's a lot.
We're talking rare Fords. I mean, he was a Ford guy at the time. Now he's into Chevys.
Okay.
But I mean, that was the start of my career, because if you worked for this customer,
right,
you were known around the state. Oh, you work for him? I want you to do my stuff.
Gotcha.
You work for him? I want you to do my stuff. So that was, and it was a challenge. You know, he wasn't the easiest person to get along with at that time, because I was 23. I was naive. I didn't.
Right.
You work for some of these characters and these customers, and you know, it's you learn along the way. And so from that point, I started working with his painter, and his painter is John Byers. And so I started working for John, doing prep work and primer and all that. Now we're working on $1 million Pebble Beach cars.
Oh, wow.
And things like that. So the first car that I sanded with it was a 1936 Ford Roadster that was started by Chip Foose. The local customer bought the car. It was finished here. And he said, okay, Jason, you prep the primer. We got that all set up. You know, I was working with the rest of the guys. He goes, okay, now let's start cutting and buffing it.
Uh-huh.
He goes, here's a block. Here's a P600. Go to town. I said, what? Go to town. Go to town. Okay. I had five burn throughs in the first door.
Yikes.
He's like, okay, go put it on the other rack and I'll reshoot it. Go in the next door. And so we did this process over and over, and I would burn through somewhere on something. Right. We just laughed about yesterday because I just saw him. And I asked him years ago, I said, Johnny, I said, why did you still let me do it if I was going to burn through and you knew it and I knew it? He goes, because you had a drive and a passion that most people don't have. So how could I say no?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, that's just the type of person he is.
Oh, that's cool.
And for those three guys, they gave me my start.
That's awesome.
Those three guys, I am here because they believed in me at some level. And you know, I'll never forget that. That's why I am where I am. I mean, right. Other people along the way.
Right.
But it started out with those trifecta guys.
Right. Now, were they able to help you kind of like tweak your style or whatever to help you stop from burning through, or was that just
no? Really, they were frustrated with me.
Yeah.
Why'd you do that? Hey, stand another part. Oh, yeah. Stand another part. So that was frustrating for me, and that's why I'm so enthralled in teaching, because right. I don't want guys to do what I did. Now, with that being said, I learned a lot by doing that, but if I can help someone out and say, hey, why is this happening? I don't know. Okay, let's change it. Let's tweak it 2 to 3 right. degrees. Let's look at it this way. Let's change the light. So that's why I really take heart with teaching, because I was there.
Right.
At that high level, and I made mistakes. So if I can help someone out not make those mistakes or fast track their career, you know, gotcha. 5-6 years.
Yeah.
You could be rocking and rolling and making money.
You said it took you 8 years to figure it out. So now you can help somebody because, again, you were been there, done that. You know how to not make those mistakes. Now you can help.
Oh, I try. It happens. It'll get you.
Yeah.
pain is a living, breathing thing, and it wants to eat you for lunch.
Well, that's true. And I mean, it all depends on, I mean, from different manufacturer to different painter. I mean, some of them are going to be thicker, some of them are going to be thinner, you know. Yeah. So yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
So going from there, when did you get, and this is a question we didn't ask last night, but when did you get hooked up with Brian?
Another funny story. So I was working at Griot's at the time.
Okay. All right. Well, let's backtrack. How did you get to Griot's?
Yeah. Okay. So that first big customer I had, he was a Griot's customer.
Okay.
I did not know anything about Griot's because Griot's had just moved up from San Diego. Richard had located the company with Mark Green, the president at the time. They moved up to Tacoma.
Okay.
And I was unaware of Griot's at that time. And he was using products, and that other customer that I worked for with that big collection started using some of the Griot's products
as well. Right.
And so I walked in and I'm like, what is Griot's? I mean, I knew Meguiar's. That's what we used at tech school.
Right.
But so early 20s, I was using Griot's, and I told them, showed them what I did and stuff. And they were pretty. And I kept on coming around and coming to their tech sessions. I thought it was just really cool that they had a car care school and it was local to me.
Right.
So I started buying a lot of their products and they're really good quality products and got to know some of the guys in the retail store. And I'm like, hey, can I teach class? I mean, I got some things that I think I can help you guys out. And they're like, sure. So I think I did the first couple classes for free.
Oh, cool.
And I was terrible. I was talking with Richard because I know Richard really well personally. Uh-huh. And we were joking about that. And just 2 days ago. And I said, Richard, you remember how terrible I was? He started chuckling. He's like, yeah, times have changed, huh? And he goes, "You remember those good old days?" I said, "Yeah, we those were the good old days, you know." And it's just, it's true. I mean, you look back at your career and
yeah,
you do some things wrong or not right, or you make a mistake, or you become better, and you just, you appreciate. I think it's always good to appreciate those times,
right?
Because it shows you where you've come. But yeah, anyway, so we start teaching there, and I think they fight. I just basically put myself on the payroll. I never filled out a resume.
I did a training. Where do I get my paycheck at?
Yeah, yeah. So they put me on the payroll. I started traveling and doing local events and doing the local tech sessions. I was kind of the Mike Phillips of Rios. You know? Okay. But I would get a lot of my customers from there. Okay. So I would do a tech session, right? We'd sell them a bunch of products and they're like, "Can you do it?" I'm like, "Yeah, I can do it." So I was color sand and polishing during the week. I was doing details on the weeknights and teaching classes at Griot's on the weekends.
Oh, wow.
And taking care of that multi-million dollar collection on Fridays.
Good Lord. That's a lot of work.
I was the kingpin of my area. Everybody knew who I was on a local, you know,
right area. Yeah.
And I was booming. And this was before ceramic coatings. I think we were making on a correction job, we were doing between $1,200 and $1,500.
Wow. Before coatings.
Before coatings weren't even, I mean, they were out, but nobody knew about them.
Yeah.
So yeah. And that was before, I think I had a porta cable. Yeah. I had a porta cable because Griot sold a porta cable. So I had my DeWalt rotary and then my porta cable.
Nice.
So yeah. So I would just bounce them back between those venues and literally just smashing hot rods over the head.
Wow. Yeah. And it's crazy that you say that because, you know, with talking with Brian Guy and Todd Helm and Dave Hermani and those types of guys, you know, here in Florida, or well, when David was here in Florida, yeah, you know, they talk about, you know, back then, you know, doing those types of details, you know, $200, $300, you know, finally getting to kind of like $500, $700. And, you know, especially Todd and Dave at the time, we're talking about, you know, they were
kind of rocking.
Like, yeah. I mean, they were like the two main guys in, you know, South Florida. They kind of competed against each other. You know, and you talk about you driving a couple of hours or, you know, half the state away or whatever. Cause again, it wasn't back then, it wasn't as populated detail wise. I'm sure it probably was the same, you know, we're up there in Washington where you're at. So there were only, you know, however many guys around the state that could do this type of work at the time, you know, so you're driving all over the place for kind of peanuts or so at the time. And, you know, that's when you talk to, again, I kind of mentioned it last night, like to me, you guys are kind of like that first class, you know, detail. And not to say that you guys were the first, but you guys, yeah, were kind of that first class of detailers that decided to start pushing the stratosphere and pricing kind of deal, paving the way to make it easier for the rest of us to go, "Oh yeah, it's $1,600 and customers would be like, "Okay, cool." You know,
yeah,
a big deal.
I mean, Todd Helm was really the start of it because he had posted, I still never posted. So,
oh, okay,
we'll segue into this. This is where I got famous in detail. Okay.
Okay.
I was famous in the hot rod world at that time.
Right.
But so we did the prototype for our Testarossa.
Okay.
I was 26 years old, won first class at Pebble in 2006. Yeah, 2006. Well, we did Auto Geek that year with Griot's, and Fermani came over. And he goes, "I know who you are." I'm like, "How do you know who I am?" "I know who you are because I read Autotopia, but no one knows who I am because I don't write on there."
Right, right.
And he goes, "You did a Ferrari, huh?" I'm like, "Yeah, which one?" He goes, the prototype. I'm like, uh-huh, I did that. They're like, you detailed it? I'm like, no, I sanded it. They're like, you sanded it with what? I'm like, with 600. He's like, what? And so he called Todd up, or Todd called him or whatever. And those two guys, they're characters. So yeah. I can only imagine what they were saying behind me in my back. It was probably, so that's where I, you know, Todd knew who I was through the grapevine, through the Cavallino.
Right.
And so, I mean, that was the start of how I was known in the detailing industry, but still, I was still known more in the hot rod world, way more than I was the detailing world.
Okay.
So fast forward. Okay. Now I'm at Griot's and then doing all the other stuff that I'm doing. And I would teach all the new hires. Okay. So I look, and this tall guy comes walking through the door. He's ducking his head down. I said, how tall are you? He's like 6'10". That was Brian.
Yeah.
Okay. This is where this goes.
Right.
So I took him, he has Subaru, and he's like, oh, we need to sand this and buff this. I'm like, okay, do this. Sand. And I'm like, hammer down. He's like, what do you mean hammer down? I said, push on the DA. Not thinking how much strength and leverage Brian has.
6'10", yeah.
He burnt through his paint right there, right on the roof.
I was going to say, I was surprised he didn't burn through the whole panel and through the car.
That was my introduction to Brian.
Nice. Backstory for everybody listening. Brian Churchill is who he's talking about, who is my cousin, who, when I first met Jason, the first words out of Jason's mouth were, I didn't know you were Brian's cousin.
So fast forward, we started Polished Image together, me and Brian and a third partner. And so I taught Brian the higher in detailing, right?
Okay.
And Brian was super talented, and Brian doesn't take no for an answer. And so we started Polished Image together in 2013. I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say probably something 13.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, 12 or 13 at least.
Yeah, it probably was 12. So, yeah. So I was really struggling, and Brian knew it. I knew it. I hated life. I didn't hate Brian. He didn't hate me, but it just wasn't working out, because the thing was, I went from detailing million-dollar Pebble Beach cars to interior Subarus.
Yeah.
And literally, we did not – I don't think we took a paycheck for like 3 to 4 months.
Oh, wow.
And so we were really struggling, and I knew Brian wanted to continue with it, and the other partner had left and taken another job. So I'm like, what do I do? So I get a phone call from Charlie Hutton, who I've done work for before and hung out with. And he said, I need some help on a Riddler car. And I knew that was my answer. My answer was, I needed to go back to what I did. So I sat down with Brian. I said, dude, listen. I said, I need to move on. And he's like, are you sure you want to do that? And he was fully supportive. He said, take a buffer, take your buffers back, take some pads, take some compounds, and go do what you do.
Right.
So there was this never weird, awkward breakup.
Right.
In fact, I'm still friends with him, and we still go out and eat. And he was in my bachelor party. I mean,
nice.
You know, and that was fun too, but, so, I mean, we're great friends, and he's taken the business to stupid levels.
Yeah.
And, but that's just not me. And we both knew that. And I think we're better off that way. But we still team up on projects when he needs me, and, you know, he doesn't need me and I don't need him. But we're still friends, and we still hang out and go to dinner, and, you know, so there was no hard feelings there.
No, and that's good. I mean, when you can do that because a lot of times that happens, right? You start a business with a friend or whatever, and then it doesn't work for one of you. And then there's an animosity, you know, around it or between it or whatever. So that's cool that you guys were able to do that and no hard feelings. He understood that,
not at all.
You know, what he's doing. Cause he's a little bit of production value or a little bit
of production. High end production and little detailing. So
yeah. And you're
more, and they do everything else. I mean, PPF. And,
yeah.
I mean, he's dent repair and bumper repair and wheel repair. And I mean, they're pretty much, they do it all.
Yeah. So, and that's not the type of detailer that you are or wanted to be. So no, that's good.
No.
So where does KXK fall into this timeline of deal? And I know last night I said didn't want to deal on it too much because would like to get all three of you guys eventually. But you know what? I think that probably won't happen. So whatever. If we dive into it, we dive into it. Yeah. If we, you know, whatever. But yeah, I mean, where does KXK fall into all that? How did it end up happening?
So KXK started by meeting Andy Ward first.
Right.
Funny story there.
Is this obviously after Griot's, after Brian kind of thing, or beforehand?
Yeah.
Or before then? Okay.
This was after.
Okay.
I wanted to do a class in Aaron Boodle. I don't know. Do you know who Aaron Boodle is?
I don't.
He's kind of teamed up with Billy Award down with Presidential Detail.
Okay, I know of Billy. I've never met him personally. I know that he does phenomenal work over there. I think he's in
awesome
Tampa area, Lakeland area, or something like that.
So Aaron Boodle wanted to do a class, and I'm like, okay, let's put a class together. So we put a class together, and Corey was doing it. Pete Boris, Billy, it was Aaron, and I think Todd Helm came because I asked him to come. Present the root test system.
Right.
So Andy was just starting at that time, kind of the higher end detailing. And Corey Carruths said, hey, my buddy Jason Kilmer is doing a sanding class. He's one of the best detailers in the country and possibly the world. I really think you would benefit from taking his class. And he was like, are you kidding me? I'm not paying that kid $1,200 or something. That's just how he is, right?
Right, right.
And I rarely call people. And I'm not a salesman per se at all.
Okay.
But for some reason, I reached out to Andy. I got his cell number from Corey. And I said, hey, man, I heard you were thinking about it. He's like, yeah, I just don't know. I'm like, okay, that's fair enough. And so we got to talking on kind of what he did in the past. And he was up in Jersey doing rental car stuff with Rob Ferretti of Super Speeders. And he knew a bunch of the New York high connections and some of the detailers and all that. So we kind of hit it off on that. He's like, you know, I think it was at least 30 minutes. It could have been 2-hour conversation.
Right.
And he's like, okay, I'll take the class. And he goes, let me ask you a question. He goes, would you teach me? I said, what do you mean teach you? He goes, make me better. I want to be really good. I'm like, yeah, come on. Everybody says they want to be really good. You want to really be good and put in the time and effort? He's like, absolutely, I do. And something told me that he wasn't joking around. So, and I called Corey after. I said, is this dude legit? Is he serious? He's like, oh, dude, he's crazy. I'm like, okay. So what I would do is I'd give Andy homework assignments every day, and he would call me about 3 to 4 times a day. My wife, I'm like, who is this guy? He's a nice job.
Yeah.
And so I'd give him a homework assignment. He would do it. And then I would challenge him on something else. And this went on for 3 months. And, you know, he started to really pick it up and really dive in and really become really well, really good. So we became friends and we hooked up and we did a couple projects together up in New York when he started up there. And at that time, I think it was a second Verge, I think.
Okay.
And Aaron met up with Andy, and those two chuckleheads, you know, hit it off. And so they were talking, and I was still in the background. I didn't really know who Aaron was. I've heard of Aaron, but not, you know, not too much.
Yeah.
And we finally met up at SEMA. I think it could have been 2014 or 15. I don't remember. Those guys would remember. And I remember a phone conversation with Aaron before I was getting on the plane to go to SEMA. He's like, Kilmer, what would it cost to bring you out for a week? And I told him, he's like, well, I don't have that kind of money. I'm like, okay, cool. And no harm, no foul. And he's like, well, I'll see you at SEMA. So I met him at SEMA, and super funny dudes, you know, super charismatic. And Andy was super charismatic. So after SEMA, Andy called me and said, hey, what do you think about starting a business with me and Aaron? I didn't even know who Aaron was, really. And I'm like, yeah, sure, let's do it. And we were incorporated KXK Dynamics within a month or month and a half.
Oh, wow.
After that. And it happened that quick.
That's awesome. Who's the better sander out of the three of you?
Well, who do you think?
I just wanted you to say it. Because, you know, there's a certain redhead all over the internet that thinks he's the shit.
Yeah. Well, where do you think you learned it from?
Yeah.
Where do you think a lot of people learned it from? On the detail side of things.
No, listen, I know. Again, when I first left the car wash and I was at Corey's one time buying some stuff, and there was a detailer there talking about, you know, oh man, I'm going to train with the Sandman. I'm like, who? He's like, you don't know who the Sandman is? And I'm like, no, dude, I just came from the car wash. Like, I'm starting this. I don't know what anybody is right now. Yeah. He's like, oh man, this guy. He's like, if you ever want to learn sanding, Jason, the Sandman, he's the guy you want to go to. And it always stuck in my head, right? Like the Sandman. I'm like, you know, and so like every now and then on Facebook, like I see like, you know, training with the Sandman, or I see this, the Sand, you know, and it just like, it's always like caught. So, I mean, like I've known of you before I ever, you know, like really even knew anything about you, you know, to even then get to a point, you know, to finally meet you kind of thing. So, yeah, the reputation definitely preceded you way ahead of time kind of thing.
Yeah.
So with KXK, how does that come about? Like as far as when you guys are developing something or deciding to come up with something, who, you know, all of you guys sit around and pitch it? Does one person come up and pitch?
Yeah, we did it first. We really collaborated, but you know, Andy does a lot of the back end work.
Okay.
Aaron is kind of the front man of the company. Yeah. He's kind of the face of it, but I'm ultimately kind of the face of it because I have a little bit bigger name than those two guys. And right. Aaron's, I mean, he would say I'm head and shoulders above him, but I think on the detail side of it, we're pretty much even as far as who knows. But Aaron's kind of spearheaded a lot of that stuff now.
And I do notice, I mean, obviously because him and I are friends and you know, he pops up more on my feed than you or Andy.
Yeah.
I do notice that he is, you know, kind of pushes everything or shows everything. And that's why I was kind of curious. I didn't know if it's and again, I know he's, you know, backstory. I know he's kind of developed a lot of the things.
He has. Yeah. That's his creativity. That's
what I didn't know if it was one of those things like where he's like, hey, I got this crazy idea and pitches it to you guys and y'all are like, hey, yeah, but you know, maybe tweak this, tweak that, you know, and it's a collaborative thing, or if it's just a Aaron running.
We, you know, I trust Aaron wholeheartedly. And, you know, I trust Andy on the book side of things. And so I just let him run with it. And they allow me to be me, which is That means me hopping on a plane, getting pictures and being all over the country. You know, that's a big part of the, you know, on the backside of it financially, that's a big part of it too, because I have a KXK shirt on everywhere I go. If I'm traveling, right. You know, in my KXK backpack, and I'm recognized all over the place. So, you know, that's part of it too. So kind of,
that's awesome.
Traveling salesman.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And I'll tell you what, I mean, you know, again, my relationship with Noxy, I get to find out some things and whatnot. And you know, I mean, I think of KXK as like this little company, like, you know, three guys, you know, like I kind of know you guys and know of you guys or whatever, but you guys really seem small. And then Noxy's like, dude, we're in like this many countries and and I'm like, holy cow, you know, I don't think of it that way, but just because I kind of know you guys, you know, and you don't come off as like, you know, big giant Meguiar's or Rupes or whatever, but you guys are all over the place kind of.
Well, you know, if you think about KXK, we have got into some places and we've worked with everybody, literally with everybody without causing drama or issues.
Yeah.
We kind of mend that bridge.
Yeah.
And that was the thought process behind it. We want to help the industry out. Industry.
Right.
Forget the brands, forget all the mumbo jumbo. We want to help out the industry.
Yeah.
And the industry has a hard time with that.
Right.
As a whole.
You're right. And you're absolutely right, because I mean, you know, Aaron tells me all the time, he's like, dude, I just want to help. I want to help everybody. I mean, he's so helpful to me. He gives me a bunch of shit online, you know, but behind the scenes, you know, he's constantly like, try this, do this. I mean, even with the podcast, I mean, he's given me a lot of tips with the podcast, which makes me think that he actually does listen to it, even though he doesn't admit to it. But yeah, I mean, and I met Andy before, you know, I mean, actually he's here. So I've met those two guys probably, I think, more than I've really met you. And anytime I've, you know, kind of reached out to Andy, you know, Andy's been really cool. And then again with you, you know, for the podcast, and you were like, dude, just let me know, you know, I'm good to go. So that is kind of cool. You guys are really kind of there, like you said, for the industry. You want to help people out. You want to get back to it. It's not just, you know, a money grub, try to get rich kind of thing.
Well, you know, I personally look at it this way. If I help the industry out, they're going to help me out.
Yeah.
And that means my bank account.
Yeah.
Eventually. Yep. It's a long process, but I feel that one day maybe we'll make some money. you know, I don't know what the future holds.
Yeah. No, you're right.
I'm okay with that. I just want to make an impact.
Right.
And a positive impact.
Yeah. And Nox is always the same way. I mean, like with the new polishing rack that you guys came out with, Nox told me, he's like, dude, I really don't give a shit if we make money on this. He goes, it's something that the industry needed.
Yeah.
We wanted to do it to help. You know, he's like, if we make money, great. If we don't, whatever, I'm helping other detailers.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it.
You know, and then there comes a thing of, you know, copycats and things like that.
Right.
I look at it this way. Everybody's copying everybody. Nothing's really new.
Yeah.
What it is, it's your personal take or your spin on something.
Right.
Because really, a polisher is a polisher. A compound is a compound.
Yeah.
A pad holder is a pad holder.
Yeah. Cause I asked him that one time. I was like, dude, you know, you guys were kind of the first that came out with the rack holders or the polish holders, whatever.
The multi.
Yeah. Many. Yeah. And I said, and then everybody else kind of did it. I said, you know, is there anything you guys could really do about that? And he's like, not really, you know,
those, some of those bigger companies are way bigger.
Yeah, that's what he said.
It would just tie us up in court.
Yeah, and he was like, he was like,
polish holder, who cares?
Right. He goes,
sanding block.
Yeah, he's like, all I can do is make ours better that people want to buy ours. And I was like, and I'll
make it cooler.
And I was like, you know what, dude, yours is, I'm sold. I'm buying, you know, like, you know, again, like, I love to support the people that I like in this industry, you know, whether it's whatever, you know, kind of deal. And
here's the key to that. This is what gives the leg up on the big companies. And this is what drives them nuts.
Uh-huh.
There's three of us.
Yeah.
It's a phone call. Yes. Do it. Yes. Do it. Okay. There you go. We do it.
Yeah.
We don't have some committee. We don't have some HR person. We don't have this and that and all this red tape. We just do it.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And I know it drives some of these companies nuts because we're nothing financially. We have no money. We're
just us.
Like, literally changing. I think we're changing the industry.
Yeah.
Because look at the sanding blocks. Everybody's got some sort of sanding block.
Yeah.
And that's directly from us. That's directly from me because sanding was not cool before I did it.
Right.
Because I was told, don't do that. Don't do that. I'm like, I'm going to do it. This is what I do. It works. You know, fast forward 10 years later, now it's cool to sand.
Right, exactly. You're kind of right, you know, with the whole money thing, because, you know, with your new kits that you guys just came out with, the SK1, right? That's what it's called.
Yeah. I can't keep track of all Aaron.
And again, I don't do wet sanding, so I always kind of forget. And Aaron,
not yet.
Yeah. Aaron will probably kill me, but I think it's the SK1. You know, and again, when I was in Atlanta, I had the privilege of being shown that under the shut your mouth or I'll never tell you anything again.
You probably knew about it before I did.
Maybe. I mean, I knew about it in, when we go to Atlanta, April.
Yeah, you probably knew about it
before. You know, and then they come out and it's funny because me and Jason Bruno and Knox are all in a little chat group, and Bruno was asking Knox about, you know, hey, are you going to do any bigger sizes? And Knox was like, yeah, but he goes, I got to recover from paying for these ones first. Like, shit wasn't cheap. I mean, I guess that's the other side of it too, is it's not like you guys can just crank shit out at all times.
Well, yeah, we needed consumables because everything to that point, the only reason you're going to order new sanding blocks, sometimes they fall apart. It is what it is. But they don't fall apart, and you're not going to break a PR1 off the wall.
Right.
So we needed consumables.
Yeah.
We need consumables now at this point. So
yeah, no, that's awesome. I think a lot of people would probably say it's about time.
Yeah.
Again, I don't sand yet, but even I would say it's about time you guys had paper to go along with all your stuff. So, sometimes when I have people on that are part of companies, I would ask, hey, is there anything that hasn't come out yet? You just kind of said you don't really know a whole lot of what's, it's Aaron. So I'll have to talk with Aaron about what's coming out next.
His head, there's a lot up there upstairs.
Yeah, there is. Gloss University. Let's dabble into that a little bit, because I know that's something you and Patterson have started.
Yeah.
So kind of give me the rundown on Gloss University. What do you guys do? You know, how often are you trying to do trainings and where and things like that?
Yeah, Gloss University was kind of a brainchild with me and David. Is we had all these, we have all a lot of, between me and him, we have a lot of connections.
Yeah.
Both the detailing side, the manufacturing side with David, and the detailers and body shop guys.
Right.
So it's like, okay, we have all these connections. How can we do a hybrid class where manufacturers really aren't the main focus? It's about the process and the procedure, and it's about higher education. It's about that higher feel, look. It's just the, you know, how do you become the very best that you can be?
Right.
And how can we do that? And that's why Glass University was started, where we team up with some of the best in the industry. And then we team up with different manufacturers and not be hold to, you know, one type of manufacturer.
Right. Exactly. And so far you guys have done how many trainings? Cause I know with COVID it was kind of tough.
Yeah. Cause we want to get started before COVID.
But yeah. Cause I know you guys did one at Ring Brothers, right? That was the first
one. Ring Brothers, we did one in Tampa.
Recently at Billy's.
And then we did one at Grant Menards.
Okay.
Nice. So we've got three of them under our belt, and we're going to do another one at Ring Brothers the end of November. Okay. We've talked about a couple other ones, but nothing is quite set in stone.
Getting good turnouts, good feedback on it.
Yeah, we do. It's sometimes it's hit and miss, you know, and again, it's this whole COVID thing. I mean, it's still kind of lingering, you know, and it makes it tough, but we'll get through it. So we're not looking to, you know, go everywhere and be everybody and do all that. So again, taking it slow and steady and just letting it come to us.
No, that's awesome.
Going out and really pushing for it.
Right. Let's see. Man, I'm actually kind of glad that we did this one because we talked about a lot more on this one than we did on the one yesterday. But I'm trying to think of some of the stuff we talked to last night to bring back up.
You want to do turtle wax?
Yeah. Okay, that was it. Yeah, turtle wax. I knew there was something else. I was trying to think of my talking points, like KXK, the Glass University, all that stuff. Yeah. So turtle wax, like I kind of mentioned last night. I know a lot of detailers are probably like, why? You know, somebody of your stature, you know, and again, nothing against turtle wax.
Not at all. But
you know, it's not a popular brand in the professional detailing community. Why first of all, and then like why
is because I wanted to make people go.
Yeah.
I'm very calculated on what I do.
Okay.
At that time, it was a good fit. I had good feedback from the company and the people in it, and they're great people. And I kind of wanted to just go, why?
Right.
Why would Jason Kilmer go with turtle wax? And I was thinking to myself, why am I doing this?
Right.
This is going to be terrible for my, you know, this could be bad. But and it's really been fairly positive. I'm sure there's people that don't want to say anything that's ruined your career.
Has anybody, like close friends, actually spoke negatively about it, or are they all like kind of cool with you doing it?
Because if you watch the videos, I was very to the point.
Yeah.
And if you know me, that's what I do. I'm to the point.
Right.
I don't sugarcoat anything.
Right.
So if it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad. And we go from there.
Right. And did they approach you, or how did it?
Yeah, it started back when they released the hybrid solution.
Okay.
They had this is kind of funny. They had a influencer type of event out in Arizona. They treated us like rock stars. I've never been treated that well by a company before.
Right.
And very impressed. But what was funny is you have all these industry people on YouTube.
Yeah.
And then you have me and David and David Heller. Right. We're the professionals of the professionals.
Right.
We're up there. Yeah. We're looking around. A couple of the YouTubers knew who I was, but 90% of them had no clue who I was.
Right. They're like, who's this guy? What's his channel pulling in? Boy. How many subscribers does he have?
Yeah. Oh boy. So we were kind of outcast there, but we had a good time. It was fun. And like that's I said, cool. The Turtle Wax team treated us so well that I kind of forgot. And we just sat down, right? Because yeah. We weren't with a YouTuber, so we sat this far table. The owners of Turtle Wax sat down with us.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know who they were. We got to talking, and just the way they were talking, they really cared about the detailer. They really cared about the industry. Now, you can say what you want. You know, they don't know what they're talking about or whatever. Right. At a certain level, yeah, they kind of got lost in, you know, in the years. And that's why they started the hybrid solution line. What I understand is they wanted to try to get better.
Right.
And you can't knock a person or a company for trying to get better.
No, no.
I applaud that.
Yeah.
And so they were like, we know we have shortcomings. You know, so we, David Patterson and myself were talking Turtle Wax here and there through since after that. And I'm not even really sure how it came about, but this new professional line was coming out. And I get an email from Turtle Wax and they said, hey, would you want to test? I'm like, yeah, sure. I'll give you. I said, no, I'm going to give you my honest feedback.
Right.
Are you okay with that? And they said, yes, please give us your feedback. I said, now it could be very brutal.
Right.
But it's honest. And they said, no, that's what we want. That's what we need. And so when a company or a person says that, I would give them a chance.
Yeah. Because you know, they have good intentions at that point. You know, yeah. Like if you went in and just absolutely ripped them and told them, you know, you'd rather polish with dog shit, they'd be like, all right, boys, back to the drawing board. Kilmer said he'd rather polish with dog shit, you know, kind of deal. And you know that, right? Versus if they were like, oh, well, you know, maybe not, you know.
And they took care of me. Yeah. They took care of me financially.
That's good.
No other company that I've done stuff with actually did that.
Yeah.
So that there's something to be said about that.
Yeah.
I could have said no. Did I do it for the money? Not right. necessarily. But when someone wants to give me money and it's an okay product and I can work with it, why not? Yeah.
So what was your initial thoughts when they sent it to you? I mean, were you like, hey, this is pretty good. It's a good, it could use this, it could use that. Or were you kind of like, wow, this is really good?
I took 800 grit.
Okay.
On my personal truck, I sampled 800 grit. I took the rotary and DeWalt, and I took the one and done compound and I took it out.
Oh, wow. So you were blown away by it? Surprised by it?
I was pleasantly shocked.
Okay.
I was like, wow. Okay, this is workable.
Nice.
And again, my skill set obviously comes into play. But sure. you also have to understand where they're coming from a corporate level.
Yeah.
You know, they know where they're at, they know where they need to be, and they know what's a stepping stone.
Right. No, that's cool.
So, I mean, you can knock it all you want, but, you know, am I going to use it on a daily basis? I use it quite often, but I use a lot of different products quite often.
Yeah.
You know, I like it all.
Yeah.
If I can get it to work, I can get it to work.
Right.
So, you know.
Right. And again, you know, it's like we kind of talked about last night. Sometimes it doesn't matter about the name that's on the label.
Yeah.
As long as the product that's in the bottle does what you need it to do.
And, you know, one thing about me is, I've never jumped on the ceramic train. Never.
Right.
I know what ceramic does. I know what it doesn't do. You know, I understand paint. You know, it's all in the prep.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Right.
And I'm not, I don't even want to associate myself, you know, with kind of with the coding industry, because it's so cutthroat, so cutthroat. It's really not good for the industry.
It is. You know, and that's the thing that I find as I'm reaching out to, again, guys like you, guys like Patterson, Helm, Brian Guy, you know, that first class that I consider, right, the guys before me kind of thing, is I realize that, you know, for guys that were doing it before coatings, and then now all of a sudden here comes a ceramic coating that probably made things easier for you guys to really kind of push those numbers, you know, and set that.
Yeah,
you know, and set it up for the guys like, you know, me that kind of walk into like, oh, you guys have already pushed the envelope, that now customers understand that. You guys are the ones that really don't do a lot of ceramic jobs.
Yeah.
Or don't have ties to any one specific brand. Like everybody on Facebook is like, I'm this brand, I'm that brand, you know, whatever. You guys are really the ones that are like, you know, we take it or leave it.
Yeah.
And if we take it, we're going to use whatever, because whatever.
You know? It's like clear coat. Okay. It's paint. Okay. There's different manufacturers, and those different manufacturers, let's say clear coat.
Yeah.
They have different variations of their clear coat within their line.
Right.
Or several lines. Okay. At the end of the day, clear coat's clear coat. It provides UV protection for the base coat.
Right.
Coating's a coating. It provides protection for the clear coat.
Exactly. It's just
longer. I don't need to say anymore.
It's just longer lasting than a wax, but does the same thing.
It's longer lasting protection. It has its pros and its cons. Just like paint sealant has its pros and its cons, just like Carnauba does, just like graphene does. I'm not even going to go down the graphene.
Yeah, let's not go down the graphene. It's not my
end. Not to say that one day I don't think it's mature stage right now.
No.
And that's what they said about ceramic. So, I mean, who knows? Graphene may be a big thing. It may be a bust, but I'm not going to put in a massive amount of time, effort, and argument to something that ultimately doesn't really matter to me.
Right. Right. So I asked this again last night. I want to ask it again because I think you had a good answer for it, just so that people kind of understand. Because that's, you know, like you said, like you were sanding before sanding became cool, right? And I think there's so many guys and girls out there that just want to sand a sand. And again, that's why I haven't jumped into it yet. I don't have the clientele that's begging me to sand cars or have cars that need sanding. So why do I want to take that unnecessary risk? So coming from you to kind of let everybody know, is have you turned down jobs?
Absolutely. You, my good friend Charlie Hutton said, Jason, you need to stand with a purpose and a knowledge. Not to be cool.
Yeah.
Stand with a purpose. What is your purpose? What is your goal? And then stand with a knowledge, a certain type of knowledge.
Right.
I know what I'm doing every pass or every rotation of the DA because I have paper on it. Don't sand unnecessary.
Yeah.
That's why I say sand to improve, not remove, especially on OEM vehicles where our paint thickness now is getting thinner and thinner and thinner. And
exactly.
Thinner. So you really have to have that purpose. Why am I sanding the scratch and what am I doing?
Right. And Knox did a great video for your new SK1.
Yeah.
Although I told him I wish I could have actually seen the scratch better I wish he would have done it on like a lighter color car or something like that. But that saying that you just said, right? Sand to improve, not to remove, you know, he said, and I think that really makes a lot of sense, because it's almost kind of the same thing. Like they, you know, like you say, when you're doing paint correction is, you know, you don't want to chase the scratch because you're just going to end up doing more damage. And kind of, I guess the same thing, like what you're just saying, you don't want to try to remove that scratch because you could end up doing more damage, sanding, burning through paint, which is going to cost a lot more than probably what you.
Yeah, you can. Again, it all boils down to a skill set, right? Right. It's your ultimate skill set where I can do something completely different and come up with an awesome result where you would take 10 steps backwards, where you would right. burn 2 seconds, where I might be able to even take 600 on OEM or a razor blade and get it out. And you're like, how did you do that?
Because yeah.
my certain skill set that I've gained over the years. Is it doable? Maybe. Should you do it? Probably not. But, you know, I have the skill set most times to do the impossible. That's where I got my name, is to come into a body shop or a paint shop and Jason's going to save the day. That's how I became who I am.
Right.
Jason needs to, we need help from Jason to save.
He's the emergency fixer. Yeah. Okay. One last quick question. Because you just kind of made me think about it. So obviously most people that are going to listen to this podcast are going to know you from the detail world.
Yeah.
Right. They know that you're, as far as the detail world goes, you're probably the best, if not the best sander. Have you ever had body shop guys come or call you to do training for body shop sanding? Cause I know it's different, right? I mean, like when you're sanding for detailing, it's a little bit different than when you're sanding for body shop. So have you had that? Have you ever had a body shop call you for training?
That's what started. I've had everybody call me.
Right. Nice.
You can go down the list of who's who in the body shop world and who's who at detailing.
Right.
At one point in time, they've called me for some sort of advice.
Wow.
And we're talking to the guys that I look up to.
Right.
That I aspire to be, or that I really admire. Yeah. They call me for advice.
Wow. Okay. And I know the answer to this question, cause we talked about it last night, but it's my new David Fermani question. Again, he asked it to me. I had no answer for him. I'm still thinking about it. If you could do any car that you haven't done yet, what would you want to do? And you've done them all. So
I ultimately don't care. I just do the best I can do on what I need to do it and,
right.
and on to the next.
Yeah.
I don't get pigeonholed into that.
Yeah.
Now, I'm grateful for what I've done and very blessed, but I don't let that dictate.
Right. You're not chasing a badge.
I'm not chasing.
Yeah.
It. Not anymore.
Yeah.
Not chasing scratches, not chasing peel.
Okay. So now comes the time of the podcast for favorites. And this is just because I get so many people who message me and say, hey man, you know, like so-and-so was talking about this. I tried it. It was awesome. Thank you for, you know, whatever, or what do you think about this or what's your, so yeah. So favorite compound.
I like M100 for if I'm sanding, on the rotor and wool pad. I think
right.
for me, it works really well. I really enjoy that. And I enjoy the price point of it. I don't think anything can touch it for the price.
Right.
I hope McGuire's doesn't change that. I really enjoy Griot's Garage Fast Cut Correction Cream. I know it's gotten a bad rap, but I thanks to Steve at, you know, Shine Doctor, really showed me on what you can do with it. It's got its limitations, but for what it does and it does a good job at it, it does it very well.
Yeah, you know, man, I don't remember. It might have been Steven Trapp, not a Blue Star, but I could be wrong. But there was somebody else had mentioned that as a go-to or as a favorite. because it does really well.
It does like I said, it does a phenomenal job on what it does.
Right. How about polishes?
That depends on what I'm working with. Like I said yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, Oberk. I use a lot of Oberk. I really am enjoying the Rupes final polish system, the yellow polish.
Yeah.
What it's called.
DA Fine.
Yeah, the fine and then that appear. It's,
yeah.
I'm really enjoying that.
They've done a nice job changing. I was a big fan of the ceramic, which I guess the DA Fine kind of took the place of. But yeah, they've done a real good job with that new line.
It's user friendly. I've wiped it down with the Widowmaker, which is G Technique pen wipe several times full strength, and I haven't seen any comebacks on scratches or anything like that. So
nice.
You know, it's really nice and it's user friendly. So that I'm really liking that system as well.
What about pads? Cut, polish.
If I'm wet sanding, usually it's a twisted wool, Lake Country or Buff and Shine. I like the Buff and Shine. Clinto sent them to me from Buff and Shine. It's a gray wool pad. I forgot the name of it. I'm trying to think what it is. I think it's their Euro wool. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Awesome pad. I really enjoy that. You know, but the purple, not twisted wool, but purple. I should know this. I've used them. the purple foam wool from Lake Country pads. I love that pad.
Okay.
As far as a microfiber, I really like the Oberk microfiber pad.
Yeah.
And can do some really awesome stuff with that. The new Griot's microfiber pads, really awesome with that tapered edge. The Rupes foam pads, I'm enjoying.
Yeah.
The HDO, it doesn't matter to me. I like a lot of different stuff.
Right, right. No, and I'm the same way. I a lot of the ones you mentioned, I use, and sometimes it just kind of depends on how I'm feeling or what I'm
everything
doing.
Is all paint dependent.
Right.
You do one thing 1 hour, come after lunch, and it's completely different.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Or you do one car one way, and 2 months later you do same brand, same model, whatever, but it doesn't work the way it did 2 months ago on the last car you did. Yeah. How about towels? Do you have a favorite towel?
I like a low pile towel, 350, 400 GSM, kind of like that coating towel.
Yeah.
Or maybe a glass towel. I'm not a big fan of big old fluffy towels, even though I have some.
Right. So one of the things, again, I'm kind of finding with you know, that first class is, you guys are Costco towels all the way. Are you a Costco towel guy?
Yeah. Sorry, Ian and Jeff. I love a Costco towel. Their tags, though. Have you seen their tags? They're like that big now.
Yeah.
It's my screen.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Exactly. How about sealants? Sealant could be anything from like a spray wax to a Carnauba wax.
No, I like the Technician's Choice. I think it's 582, the yellow stuff.
Yeah.
It goes on easy. It's economical, wipes off, you know, fairly easy, has a decent protection for what it is and the cost. It's like,
right.
That's where detailers, they compare, you know, you know, they compare nothing is McGuire's Ultimate Pace Box. I like that, but right. They compare it to a Swiss Vax Paul Dalton.
Yeah,
it's $2,000. Like, dude, you can buy one at Walmart, and you're lucky if you can even get a jar from Brian. It's like, come on, guys, that's an unfair qualification.
Yeah,
it's like, geez.
All right. And then let's blow some detailers' minds here. Cleaners falls in the line of APC, glass cleaner, interior cleaner, and wheel cleaner. And you had a great one last night. So let's blow some minds here.
Sprayway. Sprayway the world. I've used Sprayway on $1 million Ferraris, on everything. from engine bays to interiors to glass to leather, inside of wheels, you name it. I've literally used that on every part of a multi-million dollar car.
I really hope that when people listen to this, that they send me messages on this. I just want to know how many people's minds you just blew.
I just raised the stock price.
Yeah. Shut down the internet with that one right now. People can't.
Costco's going to go out of business.
You know, and it's funny, you know, because I mentioned it last night when we talked. I mean, I've used that stuff forever in the car wash. And when I was at Aaron's last time, he was wiping down a Lamborghini with it. And he was like, and I was like, okay. And he's like, oh, this blows detailers' minds. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I could see why. Yeah. But I mean, listen, dude, I came from the car wash. We sprayed that foaming shit on everything because we were lazy and it does a good job.
Well, you got to think about it from this standpoint. Okay, I spray an engine base because I can see where I'm at, right?
Yeah.
Where I wiped it, where I haven't. It's low moisture.
Yeah.
The actual chemical itself is, you can put it on anything and it won't harm anything. Right. We actually use spray away. I remember one time we were in tech school, we ran out of wax and grease remover. Uh-huh. So we use spray away to wipe the car down and the contaminants so we could paint it.
It's probably a better prep wipe than anything we're using anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. little fact there for everybody too. All right, machines. Do you have a favorite machine and it's not a brand.
As long as it rotates. My favorite machine that I love, if I have a big enough compressor, is the Rupes 3-inch pneumatic tool.
I notice a lot of people use those and love them too.
Yeah, that thing is ridiculous. Right. But you have to pair it up with a large enough compressor to keep up with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you have a smaller compressor, you're going to think it's not a very good tool.
Right. One side note question, because I didn't ask you this, but I'm kind of curious just because of like your disabilities and everything. Do you prefer a DA to a force rotation? Or a free spinning DA to force rotation?
Yeah, I can't use a force rotation.
Okay.
Especially the flex.
Yeah.
And I remember Bob would say that to me years ago when we would go to AutoGeek with Grio. He said, Jason, why aren't you using a flex? I said, Bob, look at the way it spins. It spins opposite towards my bad hand.
Right, right.
So I can't control it. I just never could get used of the rotation being opposite.
Yeah.
Not to mention I couldn't even use it.
Well, and that was the thing I was kind of curious about, because earlier you were talking about rotary spinning left.
Yeah. But it spins left. You're right. So it spins towards my good hand.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah. So that's what made me think about. I was kind of curious. Okay. And then the last question, which I knew it was going to go the way it went last night, but today I'm feeling like my chances might be a little bit better.
Okay.
I'm probably still not going to get the answer I want. But who's your favorite, me or Noxie?
Aaron.
Yeah. Man.
Have to.
I know.
I personally don't have a choice. Everyone else does. I don't, because he's my business partner.
Oh, thank you for saying that. See, I have a thing with Andy.
Yeah.
Because when I met Andy at MTE, Andy introduced him. I already knew who Andy was, but Andy introduced himself to me as Aaron's business partner, just like you just said.
Yeah.
So I went to Aaron and I said, hey, Andy introduced himself to me as your business partner and not your friend.
Yeah.
So, and I said that to Andy. And Andy's like, shit, you know? He goes, I do that. I do that all the time.
Yeah.
I tell everybody he's my business partner, not my friend.
Yeah. We're friends.
I know.
If everything was to go south, right?
Yeah.
KXK, or something happened, you know, we would always, me personally, would always be friends.
No, I know. But for me, just as that little jab to Knox. Sure. is that you guys say business partner and not friend. So it's just my little job at Knox is like, these guys aren't even your friend, dude. They're just
I hate your guts. You make their lives miserable.
Right. Yeah. Well, listen, man, you've been awesome. You know, I'm finally glad that I got the chance to really talk to you. You know, and I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the podcast, not once, but twice, 2 days in a row. You know, I would have been totally fine if you were like, hey, Alex, I'm just busy. We got to, you know, schedule another time. But man, I really appreciate you doing this so that way I don't have to have an empty week for the podcast. Because the technician forgot to hit the record button. So last thing before we go, something new that I've been asking everybody is to give one random piece of advice to help anybody listening to this. And again, it doesn't have to be detail related. It could be business related. It could be life related. But just maybe something that might help anybody listening to this either figure something out, get through something, do something, whatever.
Yeah. It's like I said yesterday, it's hammer down. You know, people say, oh, you're just hammer down the paint. No, that's hammer down life.
Yeah.
Never stop, never give up. And that doesn't mean there's going to be hard times. There is going to be hard times. There's going to be hardships. You're going to have successes, but mainly you're going to have failures.
Yeah.
And just never quit. Just keep on moving. And you look at where my career has gone. And you look at, you don't just look at the career because you can get lost in the accomplishments. What I'm talking about is you look at my career, it's been steady and stable as right. far as the accomplishments. You know, I haven't had dips or dives. It's been constantly at the top for 20 years. Okay, there's that part of it, which whatever. That's not important to me. What important to me is also at the beginning of my career to now, I've been consistent as far as a person. There's not too many people in the industry that have anything on me bad.
Right.
If they do, they probably are jealous of me, which is hogwash.
Right.
Because probably most those people, they're jealous of me. If they are, I doubt there might be, but there might be one or two. Why be jealous? You have... They have two eyes, two arms, and two legs.
That's true. Yeah. Well, that's awesome, man. And if anybody would want to reach out to you to talk about training or, you know, need some help with something that, you know, and I'm not, you know, obviously asking you to do anything for free, but, you know, obviously there's always that reach out or whatever. What's the best way for somebody to get a hold of you or reach out to you for questions?
The best way to reach out to me is through Instagram now.
Okay.
Just DM me. On a side note, I'm going to be starting a YouTube channel, hopefully sooner than later.
Okay. Oh, cool.
And I really have a passion for the younger crowd that's just starting out. We're talking beginning stuff, nice. Car buying cars. So I really want to come up with a mentorship program.
Oh, nice.
I'm not sure how that's going to work out quite yet, but I really want to help even the weekend warriors or even the individuals that are washing or polishing their cars on the weekend. And we're talking very basic. We're not even talking wet sanding, we're talking literally washing a car, drying it off, and that sort of thing. And
right.
That's been done.
Yeah.
Right. It's been done a bazillion times. But it hasn't been done by Jason Kilmer yet.
That's true.
Because I have my own spin. That's the thing about me. I have my spin on things that no one else does.
Right.
So it gives you a different flair. So that's cool. That's something to look forward in the future. Hopefully we can get that going hopefully before the end of the year.
Awesome.
I'm not sure what that would look like, but it would be a mentorship, whether that's a group mentorship or a one-on-one. And I have done some consulting one-on-one with, you know, individuals wanting to chat or change their skills or whatever, and you know,
right.
with some shops too.
That's cool.
We're not real vocal about that stuff, but that's something that I would like to be.
Yeah. I mean, I could understand it with, you know, somebody of your stature, because the minute you say that, then, you know, you got 800, you know, text messages or, you know, messages on, Hey Jason, help me with this. Can you do, what do I do about this or whatever? So I totally get it. You know, but I think that's neat that, you know, if you do a YouTube channel, do a mentor thing to try to, you know, do basics, get everybody that first couple of stepping stones to where it makes it easier for them to progress on.
Easier down the long road. We want to do it where exactly. it's, of course I would make money, and that's one, that would be one.
Listen, nobody's doing anything for free.
Yeah. Right. Well, some people, yeah. I used to do that, but I can't do that anymore.
Right.
My wife won't let me. But you know, we want to do it fairly reasonable, but still have value on both ends. So, gotcha. And I think, again, with my personality and the way I do things and the way I teach, I think it's, if we do it right, I think it's going to be very popular. And I'm not looking for the professionals. Right. I'm looking for literally those fresh guys that really want to take their time to do their own cars.
Yeah.
You know,
the ones that are trying to start out.
Yeah, not to say that we won't do a professional, but
that's what Gloss University is for.
Exactly.
For the professionals.
So, you know, we'll tie that in eventually.
You need Gloss preschool.
Yeah, yeah.
for the introductory stuff. I'm gonna trademark that when we get off so you can't call it.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. And just curious, you gonna be at SEMA this year? Do you even go? I mean, I don't
yeah, know. I don't know yet. I'm okay. Cool. It depends how many cars I have to do.
Okay.
Depends if I want to go. I mean, I've been for 23 years.
Gotcha. I mean, we all know Aaron's like Mr. T. You gotta, you know, drug him up and knock him out to get him on a plane to go anywhere. Well, see, so.
And here's the thing.
No, he won't be there.
When I go to SEMA or a car show, I can't go more than 5 steps without getting recognized by someone. Because if I walk both halls, I get recognized from the hot rod guys and the painters. And then I go to the detail side and I get mobbed by the detail.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, last year, the last time, you know, SEMA was 2 years ago.
Yeah,
19. I walked in the front door and I heard, hey, Kilmer, One Wing. I turn around, it's one of my old customers. So 20 minutes talking. And then I have another person on my left waiting to talk to me after.
You never made it inside the hall, probably.
yeah. Then I get to the four booth and I think I saw Dave Tucci, and it's like I've known Dave my whole career.
Yeah.
So then I talk to him, and then, you know, and I'm not even down the first steps. we're not even close to the detailing side yet.
Nice.
You still got two more halls to go.
Yeah. Well, if you make it out, I'm going this year. I'd love to see you again in person. If not. I understand you're a super busy guy. So
I try not to be. I really I want to do as much as I can, but I also want to have a life too.
Yeah, no, you got to. Well, all right, buddy. Our time has come. It's getting late for me. I know it's probably getting dinner time for you.
It's dinner time for me. Hurry up, I'm reading my text right now. And she's
I keep seeing her walk around in the background. Yeah. Behind the glass door. Yeah. Listen, man, I can't thank you enough for not only doing this once, but doing it twice back to back.
We'll do it again. I like doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah. I definitely would love to have you on again, like we talked about last night, and not on a sanding topic podcast.
Yeah, please. I get tired of talking about sanding. I do other things too.
Yeah. We'll get you in because we do a lot of topics. Bruno and I definitely do topics. And I know Bruno would probably, you know, be as giddy as a schoolgirl to have you on one of the What's on Your Mind podcasts that he co-hosts with me. You know, and we always try to find somebody to come on who at least knows something about something whenever we talk about a topic. So, and then hopefully again, we'll get your compadres to get some free time, and we can do a little KXK talk. But yeah, who knows?
That day will ever come.
Exactly. All right, buddy. You have a good night, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Bye.